1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria. All they are a warning to students at the University of Texas at Austin as they protested the war in Gaza. Disperse or be arrested. That from a police officer on campus. School says at least 20 arrests were made. House Speaker Mike Johnson visited with Jewish students at Columbia University, where pro-Palestinian protests also continue. Columbia student Kamani James says they won't leave until the university meets their demands.
Our demands are the same. Divest, disclose, and amnesty for all. And our community is stronger than ever.
Johnson calling on the school's president to resign. Arizona's attorney general announced charges against 11 people accused of being fake electors after the 2020 presidential election. Three Republicans joined Arizona House Democrats in voting to repeal the state's 1864 ban on nearly all abortions. This is ABC News. It's news that some consumers will applaud. New transportation rules will make it easier to get refunds from airlines.
Under the new rules, if your flight is canceled or delayed over 3 hours domestically, you're entitled to a full cash refund, not a credit like some airlines are keen on doing. And if you pay bag fees and the bags don't show up within 12 hours, the airline has to give you your money back. If you pay for onboard internet and it doesn't work, the rules say you get your money back. If you pay for first class and get downgraded, you get refunded. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg.
What should already be required?
Alex Stone, ABC News.
Boeing CEO calls it a tough moment as the company reports a $355 million first quarter loss. But David Calhoun says Boeing is focused on fixing its manufacturing issues, not on the financial results. A Gustav Klimt painting, which was lost for about 35 years during and after World War II, sold at auction for $32 million. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
It's a polka party, and for good reason. 30 years ago, legislation making the polka our state dance became official in Pulaski.
I think everybody in Pulaski showed up in Zielinski Hall or on the streets because it was a polka day celebration.
That's then-Governor Tommy Thompson who signed the legislation in April 1994. But do you know who got the barrel rolling on the idea in the first place? The Wisconsin Polka Boosters, a class of second graders, or the State Folk Museum? The answer coming up.
It's tradition, it's culture, it's food, it's beer, you know, heritage.
Heritage back to the 1840s when the polka became popular with Europeans and came to America with them. So who started the Make Polka Our State Dance movement? A class of Madison second graders, but the Boosters and Folk Museum supported those efforts. It's a cultural slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The University of Wisconsin's flagship campus in Madison is slipping in the global and national rankings. The Wall Street Journal ranks it 79th. Internationally, UW-Madison has fallen to as low as 102nd in one ranking. Authors of the UW's internal studies say the UW-Madison gets fewer federal research grants. People who need a few hundred bucks in a hurry can take out loans on smartphone apps, but consumer advocates warn of steep hidden costs. Lucia Constantine is with the Center for Responsible Lending.
They are trapping consumers in a cycle of borrowing that is similar to that of a payday loan.
A bipartisan bill to curb predatory lending in Wisconsin stalled in the last session of the state legislature. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers lose again to the Pirates. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Their crew could not get on base, losing 2-1 in Pittsburgh. Pat Murphy was pleased by the debut of right-hander Tobias Myers, even though the first batter he faced, Andrew McCutchen, hit a home run.
I think sometimes getting punched early is probably a good thing, to be quite honest with you. I think that said it all, what he did the next, 15 outs.
NBA, the Bucks lost at home to the Pacers, 125-108. Milwaukee pulled it within 4 points, then fell behind by 20 in the final period. Chris Middleton.
Siakam made some tough plays. Turner hit some shots. But I think for the most part, their pace after I missed shots just, you know, killed us tonight.
Game 3 is Friday at 4 p.m. in Indy. The Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton is from Oshkosh, but mentioned this after the game.
My little brother in the stands the other day was, you know, called the N-word. You know, I didn't sit right with anybody in our, you know, in our family.
That's the Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight to a low around 30. For tomorrow, more sunshine with a few clouds in the afternoon and warmer, highs to the low 60s. Then rain rolls into the area tomorrow night and Friday, becoming breezy as well, highs upper 50s. And more showers and storms around for the weekend and cooler. Right now it's 50.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
On my next show, while it might make for a good punchline, Trump's rhetoric actually is incredibly dangerous. We'll dig in on the next Maggie Dawn Show.
Weekdays 2 till 4 p.m.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, home of the John and Gordy Show.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who's had a paper route for 25 years but never collected, Pete Schwabba.
It's National Bucket List Day. What's on yours? Let us know. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Had some good ones so far. Caller Jim from Milwaukee said he'd go in a shark cage. He said he would actually do it. That one, I may have heard that before, but running with the bulls is a big one. So skydiving, bungee jumping, traveling the world, those are the basics. What's on yours? Give us something good that we can read here. Hey, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out their webpage, minocquabrewingcompany.com, to see where you can buy progressive beer and join them for live music, poetry, and progressive politics at their new tap room on 2927 East Washington Avenue in Madison. I'm going to be there in a couple weeks, Conrad. You know that?
I did not.
Yeah, we're going to do a remote from there. It's going to be really fun. And Kirk Bangstad, the owner of the Minocqua Brewing Company, will be here tomorrow night to talk about the remote and some of the things he's doing there. He's really into like music and poetry and all kinds of cool cultural stuff that's going to take place in Madison. That will be a fun show. Looking forward to that, and great to have Minocqua Brewing Company as a sponsor. Hey, if you have not checked out the news podcast, the news roundup, as they say, go to civicmedia.us, and we're on statewide. You can click on any of the stations, and the news podcast is at the top of the page. You click on it, it's like 9 minutes long, you get sports, weather, news, and I do a Hollywood Minute on there. Those are kind of fun. Check it out. You can get all your news in one stop with Civic Media. So definitely check that out. So while I was talking to Pat Kreitlow, somebody texted, who was that, Robert?
I believe it was.
It was Robert.
Yes.
And I did not see his text while I was interviewing Pat, but he said if he has plans to interview Justin Vernon, I will email him that, Robert, and ask him that, because, yeah, that would be a good get. I don't know much about Justin Vernon. I know that he's from Eau Claire, and he wrote an album in some cabin. You know, the longer I do this show, I've learned that there are more authors and singers, songwriters, movie people that have things going on in northern Wisconsin. I guess it's like the perfect place to get away from things and be creative. I mean, if you lock yourself in a cabin, it's not a whole lot else you could do. So that's apparently what Justin Vernon did in 2006 and 2007 when he wrote an album. He was part of a band. What was the band again, Conrad?
Bon Iver?
Bon Iver.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I wish I would have seen that during the show. But I will forward that, Robert, to Pat. And we'll treat it as a request on the Pat Kreitlow jukebox. Also, Conrad brought this to my attention. I did see this earlier. I almost did a Hollywood Minute on it. But it said the beloved character, This kind of got my attention. The headline was Simpsons fans mourning death of beloved character. And I'm like, oh my God, who? Because they killed off Flanders' wife years ago. But I looked at the article and it's like the guy's barely an extra in Cartoon World at Moe's Tavern. He's had like four lines over the history of the 35-year history of the show. That's the headline. Everything is clickbait. They just want you to click. Beloved character, who is it? Oh, it's that guy you don't know anything about who was in two episodes. Wow, really bold move, killing him off. They're doing construction next door to the studio here, and it sounds like a torture chamber. I'm literally expecting to hear screams.
You know, so why I think that Simpson things is so funny is because, you know, like Family Guy or Simpsons, they just never age.
Right.
Yeah, they're cartoons. Finally kill off someone, I'm like, oh, wait, so they do age? They just, nothing happens to them.
They're mortal.
Yeah, exactly.
He got erased, basically, is what it was.
Yeah, exactly.
That's hilarious. But everything is click. Like, they just want you to click. And I saw this. This was great. It was, who's the guy? Jeremy Allen, the guy from The Bear.
Oh, yeah.
People Magazine.
Jeremy something.
Jeremy Allen Poe. No. Jeremy Allen. A lot of people think he's Gene Wilder's, like, long-lost son or something. Jeremy Allen White. That's it. This is an actual headline. This is from People. Jeremy Allen White enjoys some fresh air in L.A. It's like, here's what it said, too. It said he put on a cotton shirt and some kind of sneaker and enjoyed some fresh air in L.A. Wow, that's a great headline. They could have just said, actor got dressed and took a walk. But they have to sexy it up. You know what I mean? Like, actor got dressed and took a walk is not a good headline. Oh, this actor only wore this cool shirt when he took a walk. Wow. Kill me. So, all right. I want to talk about this. Oh, we have a... Stacey Sue is watching on the stream. Hi, Stacey. She says on her bucket list is Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and she wants to go whale watching. That is a great one. I love the idea of whale watching. I don't want to do it. Again, I'd be the guy where the tail comes out of the water and it only hits me on the boat. So why would I subject myself to that? I like the videos on TV, though. I don't need to be 10 feet away from a whale. I'm an inside guy. Proud inside guy. And I don't like crowds. You're learning a lot about me, Conrad.
I knew you were an inside guy already.
Yeah, you did. Would you go to the Thanksgiving Day Parade? That's a huge crowd.
It would be really cool at least one time to go to that.
But, I take my kids when they were younger. Yeah. I would take my kids and stuff. That's what would get me off the couch. It's like, I want to do it for them. But I, you know, we went and saw the floats after the Rose Bowl parade. They were all in the Rose Bowl, actually. They were all parked and you get to walk around. And I'm like, okay. I saw them on TV. That's why God created TV. So thankful that he or she did. So keep those texts coming, folks. I want to know what's on your bucket list. And this is a great story. Married with Children was Fox TV's first show. And there's a book out. There's a book out now about it called Married with Children versus the World, the inside story of the shock-com that launched Fox and changed TV comedy forever. That is the longest title in the history of books. But apparently, Sam Kinison was in the running to play Al Bundy. He auditioned. And I think they got cold feet pretty much immediately. He's kind of unpredictable, as great as he was as a comedian. But apparently, in the book, it says, during four, Kinison mooned the entire cast and then apologized by taking everyone out to Spago that night for dinner. In the same week, he showed up late, and to make up for it, he hired strippers to serve lunch. You could argue that's not really making up for it. It's just making things worse. But that's Sam Kinison. In the same week, he flashed a gun at one of the show's producers who showed up at Kinison's house thinking his girlfriend might be in there because she was also friends with Sam Kinison. That's just, like all on a guest starring spot. That's 1 week of activity from Sam Kinison. I mean, talk about a wild card. But it's got a lot of great stuff in it, too. It talks about how Al Bundy, played by Ed O'Neill. Ed O'Neill did not want the role right away. He was, like, grilling his agent about why he got called in for this. Katie Siegel, she was in a band, I guess, apparently. And she was like, she changed her look for the audition in case she got the role so that no one in the music world would know it was her. That's how little faith people had at the time in Fox TV because it was new. This was the first show they put out there. And even David Faustino, the kids, they were like, I don't know, you know. Actors have to be very careful with the roles they choose when you're working. When you're not working, it's like, I'll take anything. But I really do want to read the book. It sounds fascinating. It sounds just in that paragraph, there's so much cool stuff I want to read about. And Conrad, I thought of you when I read this about Tom Brady. He's gonna make $375 million to do color commentary on 10 games.
Yeah, that's a little bit too much money, I feel like.
You think so? What would they need to get you to do it? I need it for free.
I need a
semi bus fare.
I need a salary of $10.
$10, okay. And then perks, a per diem. Maybe a signing bonus so they can cut you every year, too.
They just need to give me water every day for the show. That's it.
Honest to God, like the play-by-play guy, that's who they should pay. No, I don't. Nobody tunes into a broadcast to hear Tom Brady. If I'm watching a game, it's because of the teams. I don't care. If anything, you don't want to be. Like Tony Romo, when he started, I really liked listening to him. It seems like he knew the play before it was called.
Yeah.
Now it's like. He just shows up, maybe because he's figured it out. This is not brains, you know, it's not brain surgery. It really isn't. It's the play-by-play guy is the one that does the heavy lifting.
You know, I would love the idea of them having an alternate broadcast where no one's speaking and it's just football.
Really?
I would love that.
I think you think you'd love it.
I think I would love it.
Just silence. Nobody.
Well, obviously, the sounds of the game, everything like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think I would love that.
Give me Al Michaels.
It's no different than, like, you know, going to an actual game.
Except that you're there and you have the energy. You're sitting in your living room in your underwear. Don't tell me you don't watch football in your underwear. You know,
just an idea.
It's interesting. A for effort.
Thanks.
But I think if you're there, it's like you have the energy. Like, I just don't get that. It doesn't matter to me. Like, I'm watching the game, no matter who's calling it. I might bitch about who's calling it, but give me Al Michaels, give me Greg Olson. But it doesn't matter who's calling. It's like when they used to put out movie trailers from the studio that brought you such and such. No one cares who the studio is. You don't need to waste time saying it's an MGM film. Just show the damn highlights from the movie. That's good stuff. Do we have, I don't want to miss another text. I can't do that. Okay, here we go. Real quick, get in on the fun, folks. What is on your bucket list? It is National Bucket List Day. Robert says, Tony Romo, another Wisconsin product. We got something special here. Robert likes Tony Romo. I'm kind of done with Tony Romo. We'll read Robert's other text next. And welcome my friend Steve Segrin. That's next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Welcome to the Lazy Oaf Lounge, Madison's East Side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Stop in for great daily lunch specials, soups made from scratch, and jaw-dropping burgers, wraps, and sandwiches. Plus Friday fish fry and homemade pizza cooked in a classic stone hearth pizza oven. The Lazy Oaf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyOafLounge.com.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt Nair on air.
If you would like to watch us live, go to Nightlight with Pete Schwab's Facebook page or go to Civic Media on YouTube. Now, once again, here is Nightlight with Pete Schwab.
Welcome back. So here's Robert's other text, part two. It's a text mini-series, ladies and gentlemen. Robert says, I used to have the radio going and mute the TV. Now everything is different, delayed, and it messes it up. That's true. Oh, I used to do that too. The radio announcers are better because they're like your home guys. But I'm sure they did that. Like, and why can I pirate any game on the NFL? On any game in the NFL, I can get, I don't do this because it's against the law, but I'm saying I could if I wanted to watch my team, but I can't get a radio broadcast. Trying to like juke the system or something? Are people, I don't understand that. All right, we'll get to the bottom of it. Thank you for the text, Robert. Good stuff. And Robert, he was the one. We'll talk about Robert later. I love all the texts. This is great. The bucket list is growing, Conrad.
It is.
All right. Good to know. All right. I am very excited to welcome my next guest. He is a an old friend. He's not old. He's middle-aged. And he's been a big influence. Not a big influence, a medium-sized influence. See what I'm doing there, Conrad? He's a good friend of mine. He is an accomplished artist now, adding to his career as an actor and a comedian. And he's a great all-around guy. Steve Segrin joins me now on Nightlight. Hey, Steve.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. How are you?
All right. How are you doing? Chris Collinsworth. I will not watch him.
God, come on. I know.
Then I will turn the TV down and watch the show in silence. Rather than listen to Chris Collinsworth.
I would rather put on a Three is Company marathon than listen to Chris honest to God, Chris Collinsworth and Tony Romo. I forgot about Chris Collinsworth, Steve, and he's one of those guys I used to like.
Yeah. I liked it when he was on Inside the NFL. I liked him on Inside the NFL when that show was still on Showtime, I think.
Yeah.
And then his voice just started grating on me. And he's got a kid who sounds just like him.
And his kid brings nothing to, like, it's total nepotism. It's like,
yeah, I know.
So you know more than me because your dad played football. Well, I watched my dad. Well, so did I. Where's my sideline reporting gig? Ridiculous.
Well, you know,
Steve, it's good to hear your voice.
Anyway. Oh yeah. Well, thanks. Yeah. And by the way, I am old. I turned 70 this year.
No way. Really?
Yes. Yes. 70. And the cool thing about, well, I'm 69 right now. 69, dude. And the thing about being 69 is like it doesn't count because you're gonna be 70. It's like being 39, you know. It's like,
yeah,
you're almost 40, right?
Yeah, they suck.
So yeah, but anyway, well, once cool. I'm 70, man, that's I'm looking forward to it, actually, because nobody can mess with you when you're 70. You can wear whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. I'm 70. I'm an old man.
Right. And if they do mess with you and kick your ass, you go, well, I'm 70. What am I supposed to do?
I'm 70. I'm an old man. Yeah. Or the other way around. If I kick their ass,
God, vomit.
I'm 70. I'm an old man.
I've got pee in my pants. Come on. Leave me alone. Hey, so I'm kind of in awe of guys like you. Who, you know, they go out and they do stand-up comedy and they're really successful and you're like one of the funniest guys ever to come out of Chicago. And then you go and you do acting and you get all these great credits. And now you're doing art and you're starting to sell stuff. And it pisses me off, Steve, because it's not fair. No, I love your success as an artist, too. Now, tell us about what's going on and how you got into that and how you segued from, you know, the biz.
Well, it's a long story. No, actually, I went to school for it before I started doing stand-up. Back in 78, I went to the School of the Art Institute of Chicago.
Nice.
And then from there, I became a stand-up comic.
Yeah, you can't make up
your mind. So the whole time I did stand-up, which I guess, you know, maybe 35 years, something like that, I didn't do anything, you know. And once I, like, you know, it's weird. I just want to tell you this right now. Today, I think it's today, is the 14 years ago today, is the last time I was on stage as a stand-up.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Where was that?
Zany's in St. Charles.
No kidding.
Yeah.
No, they closed it down shortly after that. I'm not blaming you, Steve. I'm just saying. Shut it down. We're done.
Shut it down. So I started getting back into it after I kind of left stand-up and acting.
Wow.
And, but the thing is, that was, I had background in it before.
Yeah, right, right.
I guess that's my point, yeah.
You know, I do remember you telling me that because we worked Toledo together years ago. And I'm not saying that to brag, but we were driving home.
That.
Yeah, and I remember you said that you went to art school, so it's all kind of coming back to me now. But for you to just, like, start painting, though, and you haven't given up acting, have you?
I don't leave the house anymore.
Oh, you're one of those.
No, I do. Well, I did.
I just lay here in my iron lung and, you know, it's nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Very comfortable. People do things for me. I don't have to do anything anymore. I'm 70, man. I'm an old man. Anyway, what were we talking about? I forgot.
We're talking about how you got,
last week I did something actually, in front of people. Did you ever read that, that hitchhiking story I posted on Facebook?
Yes.
I don't know, like 6 months ago.
Oh, that's a great story.
I read that for Rami Angelic did a little, event at, Garden Center. And I read that in front of some people. So,
that's a great story.
So actually, I guess that's kind of acting, kind of stand up. I don't know.
Just performing, sure.
But yeah, but to answer your question from before, I really don't do any acting anymore.
Interesting. So if they called, like you've been on shows like The Office, and you got a lot of good credits. If they called you and said they want you, you'd say no?
Oh, well, yeah, I guess I would. If they said, hey, we're going to want you and this is what we're going to pay you, and sure, yeah, I would do it, yeah.
Okay.
But I'm kind of rusty.
It's like riding a bike. So, first of all, you can see Steve's paintings. It's paintingsbystevesegrin.com, correct?
Paintingsbystevesegrin.com, yes.
And Segrin is spelled
S-E-A-G-R-E-N.
Yeah, S-E-A-G-R-E-N.com. And how do you, what style of art is this, Steve? It looks a little bit like a modern day, like Monet type situation. Am I way off there?
No. Yeah, you know, it's weird. I'm just learning now how to, like, talk about my work. It was kind of difficult early on, but now I'm starting to get a hang of it. Like when I was still in art school, I was doing these big abstract paintings, like 4 by 6 feet, you know, big abstracts. And that's, you know, I mean, that's fun to do when you're a kid and everything like that. But where do you put it? You know what I mean? It's like these gigantic fucking paintings. Oh, sorry. It's gigantic paintings.
You're like Rick Masters renting a warehouse to put your...
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, but anyway, when I started again, here's what I did. I bought a hardcover sketchbook and I decided I was going to fill up the whole sketchbook. It's like 100 pages with sketches and just keep working on it till I finished. And then the goal was to give it to my granddaughter. Again, here's a book of sketches I did for you, right? Nice. Anyway, it took me about 3 years to fill up that whole thing, right? And from there, I started painting, you know, from that. When I started to paint, I was like, I didn't know what direction I wanted to go in. So I figured I'd just start with some kind of realistic thing. And usually from photographs, I work from photographs. And
okay. Hey, Steve, hold that thought right there. We'll pick up there next. And I want to ask you about I love this painting. I'm wondering if you'll give me a discount. All right. We'll talk more with Steve Segrin coming up next about his art and some comedy, too. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lawball Show.
ABC News, I'm Daria Alvear. A warning to students at the University of Texas at Austin as they protested the war in Gaza. Disperse or be arrested. That from a police officer on campus. School says at least 20 arrests were made. House Speaker Mike Johnson visited with Jewish students at Columbia University, where pro-Palestinian protests also continue. Columbia student Kamani James says they won't leave until the university meets their demands.
Our demands are the same. Divest, disclose, and amnesty for all. And our community is stronger than ever.
Johnson calling on the school's president to resign. Arizona's attorney general announced charges against 11 people accused of being fake electors after the 2020 presidential election. Three Republicans joined Arizona House Democrats in voting to repeal the state's 1864 ban on nearly all abortions. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin schools are turning to restraints and seclusion for discipline less often. The Department of Public Instruction says cases were down about 8% last school year. Tim Pirenboom is a DPI psychologist.
It's only supposed to be used as a last resort when the student's behavior presents a clear, present, imminent risk to physical safety.
The report says most schools reported zero cases last school year. High school athletes in Wisconsin will not get name, image, and likeness opportunities this year. A proposed amendment to the WIAA Constitution failed at a meeting of the governing body Wednesday. Executive Director Stephanie Hauser predicts the discussion is just starting. 31 states allow NIL deals for high schoolers, including Minnesota and Illinois. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. The late Sam Kinison was known for outlandish behavior and pushing boundaries on stage and off. A new book about the show Married with Children reveals that Kinison actually auditioned for the part of Al Bundy. According to the book, during a season 4 guest starring role, Kinison mooned the entire cast and crew, then apologized by taking everyone out to dinner at an expensive LA restaurant. Later in the week, to make up for the fact that he was late to the set, he hired strippers to serve lunch. Kinison also apparently flashed a gun at one of the show's producers who showed up at Kinison's house, suspecting his girlfriend, who is also a friend of Kinison's, was there. In addition to Kinison's antics, the book also talks about how the series regulars were all hesitant to be cast on Fox TV's first show. The book is called Married with Children versus the World, the inside story of the shock-com that launched Fox and changed TV comedy forever. Don't worry, the book is a faster read than its title. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight to a low around 30. For tomorrow, more sunshine with a few clouds in the afternoon and warmer, highs to the low 60s. Then rain rolls into the area tomorrow night and Friday, becoming breezy as well, highs upper 50s. And more showers and storms around for the weekend and cooler. Right now it's 48.
Spring is in the air. Hope springs eternal. Spring fever, baby.
What are you doing?
This is radio. We like cliches to hammer home a point.
Funny you mention home. Did you know spring is the best time to find a new home?
Time to spring into action.
Or just be smart and contact the Aaron Weber Group at movetomadison.com. Listings are updated every 15 minutes, rapid response, going above the ordinary, and getting you what you want. The Aaron Weber Group, powered by First Weber. That's no cliche.
I'm no spring chicken, so I'll check out movetomadison.com.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 11 till noon on the talk you can't ignore. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, all things sports with the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan, weather and wine with Brittany Merlot, and Brewers tickets. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 11.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
From the 818, Bridget says, take a tropical vacation with my family. That's a good bucket list one. That's a big one, too. Big family trip. Keep those texts coming, folks. What is on your bucket list? Let us know. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I'm talking with my good friend and I would say an accomplished artist, Steve. Would I be wrong to say that you're accomplished because you're actually selling stuff?
No, I guess you wouldn't be wrong to say that. I don't know if I'd say emerging artist. Like that would be better.
Yeah, there you go. So you have this great painting, and it's paintings by stevesegrin.com. Segrin is spelled S-E-A-G-R-E-N. Paintings by stevesegrin.com. It's called The Potted Plant of Montecito, and I'm looking at this really cool painting.
Yeah.
The brick. How tedious was that to paint?
That was actually not as hard as it looked. Well, no, it was kind of, but it doesn't. It was tedious, but it didn't feel that way. It was kind of fun, actually. You know,
it looks really.
But, the hardest part was mixing the color. All the bricks are different colors, and that was the most difficult part was mixing the colors.
Are you looking at all your paintings? It really makes me miss Southern California. Do you paint other stuff too, or do you like that kind of viewpoint? I love the rooftops and the water that you have. So great. But do you like just doing SoCal stuff?
Yeah, well, yeah, mainly because, you know, I live here. But the light is so cool here.
Yeah.
Right? I remember I read somewhere something like the reason the movie business started here was because the light, you know.
Right.
The light is different here than it is in the Midwest or, you know, on the East Coast. I guess like the south of France or something might be the same, or Spain, something like that. The light, it might be similar to what it is here, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. That I just like the light. I like the way the colors look and everything in Southern California. It's got a look and a feel to it, you know. Well, you've been
there. Yeah, for sure.
You know, yeah.
That's great. Well, yeah. I really like. Have you talked to another friend of ours, Leo Benvenuti, part of the Steve and Leo comedy team?
Yeah, yeah.
He went into art too, and he's doing shows around the world and all kinds of stuff. Yeah. Have you guys talked or?
No, we haven't. No, I've seen some of his stuff though. Yeah,
he's kind of a jerk. He's kind of a jerk anyway.
I don't care for the guy.
He's like the nicest guy in the world.
Tim Cavanaugh, I used to call him the meanest man in show business. Tim Cavanaugh's like the nicest guy you ever want to meet. You know, he's the meanest man in show business.
You know, this is so funny. I don't mean to get off on a tangent here, but I book this comedy night once a year in Marinette, where I live right now. It's for a fundraiser, and Tim has done it. And this year I had Tom Clark do it. And you know, yeah. Tom from Milwaukee. Yeah.
So sure do, yeah.
So Tom's out there. His wife, Steph, is a comic too. So I booked Tom this year and his wife to come and do the fundraiser. So they're there. It was on February 3rd. Tim Cavanaugh books a gig at my old high school that I introduced him to 10 years ago. They booked Tim back, but not me. They went around. They circumvented me. They circumvented me, Steve. And so Tom and Tim are friends on Facebook too. And Tim says, you know, man, that's like 12,000 people.
Yeah.
Tim posts on Facebook, I'll be in Marinette February 3rd if anyone's in the area. And Tom Clark said he read the post and he goes, what the? Did I get bumped? What? Because I don't really know the Schwabba character that well. But I got to hang out with Tim and his wife, Chris, and Thomas.
Yeah.
That was really, it was so cool. Great to hang out with comics again.
Yeah.
Hey, talk about that. Have you hung out with other artists? And what's the difference like hanging out with artists or comedians?
I'm just starting to meet other artists and most of them are cool.
That doesn't surprise me.
They're a lot more serious.
Yeah.
Than what I'm used to.
Right.
Right. I mean, you know, for 30, 40 years, I've been hanging around with nothing but comedians.
Right.
And you know how we get, you know? Sometimes I, am taking it a little too seriously.
Okay.
I guess it's a way to put it. They're a tough crowd. Hard to get laughs out of them, but a lot of them are very serious and very some are pretentious, but not all of them. Most of them are pretty down to earth, but just it's hard to explain.
Yeah, and there's probably a different appreciation there. Like, on some level, it's nice to hang out with people who aren't comedians, and you get a different kind of stimulus from, you know.
Yeah,
That could be kind of cool, too. So what are your All right, can I ask you about your acting career? I want to ask you about comedy, too. You ready to delve back into your history?
I'm ready.
Okay, all right. So we were in, I want to quiz you here. I want to ask you, I doubt you remember this, because we all remember stuff about each other that we forget, you know, but Pete Moore always shares a story with me, and I just forgot it. Rusty McGarry too. So anyway, oh, by the way, Pete was on the show. You mentioned Rami Angelique, his wife. Pete was on the show because it was Jennifer Beals' birthday. It's like three months ago. We just started the show, and Pete kissed Jennifer Beals. In high school.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So we had him on the show to discuss it. It was really perverse and fun.
He gets a whole show because of that?
Why? Well, not the whole show. He wasn't like parked in the co-host chair. He is just so funny. And he's so, I just love the way he tells the story. And then we had him on because it was something with Steve Carell, and Pete worked with Steve Carell at the Rock and Roll McDonald's. No, what was it? Ed DeBevick? I don't know. They worked at a restaurant. And he had this great story about Steve Carell, and our system wasn't working that night. So I had this great interview with Pete. That's the only time we've had a technical issue, but he's so funny, and I'm envious that you live close
to
him.
Hilarious.
So, yeah. But, okay, so you and I are working Toledo, and you challenged me. You were the headliner. I don't know if you brought me or if we just happened to be in the same show, but you said, I dare you to say this on stage as many times as you can. Do you remember what the phrase was?
No. Okay. I don't. I do remember us doing stuff like that. Yeah, but I can't remember the phrase.
You said your thing was the whole week. You said, I don't know if you guys are aware of this. You said this to the fine people of Toledo. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but the word on the street is this town.
Go ahead. Say it.
The word on the street is that this town sucks.
Do you remember that? Yes.
And they're like, you're digging yourself out of a hole every show. It was so great. And then you dared me to say as many times as I could in a 30-minute set, my idea of a good time? I don't think so.
I don't think so, yeah.
And I think I did it like three times, and then people were like, what's this guy's deal? I totally made up.
Because that used to be my my impression of between New York and L.A. comics. A New York comic could be like, whose idea was this anyway? You know, and Los Angeles would be like, my idea of a good time? I don't think so.
That's so funny.
But do you remember that same night or that same gig that week, there was a bachelorette party.
Oh,
and they brought in a giant foam rubber penis and they sat right up front and they planted the penis on the table. Right. So everybody you couldn't miss it. And me, you and the MC all decided we were not going to mention it.
Yes.
Just do our show. Right. And I remember by the time I got on stage, were actually waving it in my face. Just like, say something about the penis. And Pete, do you remember? They were furious.
Yes, I do remember that. That's so funny. See, that's what I mean. Like, I didn't remember that until you said that. We need to have a better exchange of ideas from so many years ago, because there's so many great stories. And Rusty McGarry's is every like two or three years, I get a message from Rusty. We were at a party at Pat Francis's house. That Thing You Do had just come out, the Tom Hanks movie. Yeah. And somebody name dropped or something and said, oh, I saw Tom Hanks today. And apparently I just looked at him and said, oh, yeah, was he doing that thing he does? It was so stupid and such a low-hanging fruit. But Rusty,
I love it.
Rusty could not. He'll every once in a while he'll bring that up, and I love it. Because I don't remember saying it when he said it. You know? It's so funny. Here's the other thing. When I first moved to L.A., You gave me a hard time, and we were having either a text or email exchange, and you used to call me Brasco, and you said, how do you like this, Brasco? I got a part in a movie, and I didn't have to move to L.A. to do it. I'm getting it done from Chicago. And now you're out there, and you were like Mr. L.A. You really do love it, don't you?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
That's great.
I like it out here. Yeah.
How are you swinging Venice, man? That's an expensive place to live. You have rent control?
Yeah. Well, that's the trick. Don't move.
Yeah.
You know, stay where you're at. But I don't live in Venice anymore. Actually, now I live in Marina Del Rey. We moved a little farther south.
Oh, okay.
They tore our building down. So.
Oh, that's
we've been here. We've been here since 2006 or 2007. I'm sorry, 2007. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not going anywhere.
Nah.
That's pretty cool. I just got a text from his bucket list. So, this is my son, Joe. Bucket list is meet Steve Seagrin up close and personal. You met him several times when he was a tiny, he was a little guy on the set.
Yeah, I think I do remember.
We used to call him Shoeless Joe when we would go play comic softball.
That's right.
Yeah. That's so great. Oh, my gosh.
Joe Chihuahua. Right. That's right. I remember. Yeah.
He was on the take even back then. So what were your favorite clubs to work, Steve?
When I was still doing stand-up?
Yeah.
You know, I really liked the Funny Bone in Pittsburgh. I really liked that.
That's a fun room.
And then the Chicago rooms, you know. I remember working the Funny Firm a lot.
Yeah.
And there was that one summer like a stretch where I would like it was the improv firm, you know. So those clubs, I remember working there a lot, and it certainly didn't go over well over at Zany's. They weren't too happy with me. Right. In fact, they took my picture off the wall, Pete.
Oh, come on.
My picture's not on the wall there anymore.
Really?
Yeah, I went to a 40th anniversary party for a Christmas party, something like that, and I looked for my picture, and it wasn't there. I'm like, come on, man, that's all I got.
That means you know you're getting to them, Steve.
Yeah, I know.
I was working Zany's in Mount Prospect once, and the MC's name was Dan Greeter, and he had just started doing stand-up, and he was so excited to work Zany's. And, you know, the walls there are pretty full. And Dan gets off, the first week is done, and he goes up to the manager and says, you want me to sign a picture for you so you can put it up on the wall? Like a little too eager. And the club manager goes, yeah. Let me just go pry one of Seinfeld's pictures off the wall to make room.
was that Dorfman or Dorfmeister? What's his name?
No, I never worked there when he was at that club. I heard stories, but this was a different guy.
Oh no, I'm thinking of Vernon Hills. Yeah, that was Mike Donovan. That was probably Mike Donovan.
I'm sorry. But, Dorfman was Vernon Hills. This was not Mike Donovan. It was the guy that came out after. It was just a funny line, you know. That.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so you were all. Like, oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, please, I insist.
I was going to say it's like The Right Stuff. You know, they had that bar where they had the pictures up of all the dead pilots.
Oh, you know, my God.
Never mind. Yes. But that's how I felt. My picture was gone. It's like, oh, man, come on. That's all I got, man. God,
that's funny. Do you have a favorite Jimmy Higgins joke you want to share with us? Jimmy Higgins is the late Jimmy Higgins is no longer with us. One of Steve's best friends and a guy who was kind of helpful to me getting stage time in Chicago. So we both have a soft spot in our heart for Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy is a good guy. I don't know. I do like he did a joke about taking his. My favorite is when he comes home drunk and his mom is like, what do you mean coming into this house drunk? And he goes, well, I was just next door. They weren't too crazy about it either.
He took his mom to the prom, too. We can talk about that next. I got a couple more minutes with Steve Seagrin. I'm going to ask him what it was like for him being in a movie called The Godfather of Green Bay, which we've talked about a couple times on this show. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, hanging out with Steve Seagrin here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Are you making plans to honor Mother Earth? April 22nd is Earth Day, and it's a Wisconsin idea. Our Senator Gaylord Nelson created the day in 1970. It was his way of pushing environmental issues onto the national agenda. And many demonstrated in support. It worked. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency formed by December of that year. And today, Nelson's daughter, Tia, continues her dad's efforts. The Earth Day theme this year focuses on the use of plastics. It includes a reminder of the goal for a 60% reduction in the production of plastics by 2040. If you want to find a cleanup or education event to help during Earth Day week or anytime, check earthday.org. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Steve Segrin here with me tonight, helping me close up shop here on Nightlight. All right, so Steve, where were we? We were talking about, well, all kinds of things. But you were in a movie I made called The Godfather of Green Bay, available on Prime Vudu and Apple, by the way, and Tubi. You crushed it. Like, I had four friends. I had like a list of eight friends to get in the movie, and eventually Brian Edding, the producer, said, "Listen, this is not free for all for you just to have all of your friends. You gotta draw the line somewhere." So I literally went by seniority, people I had known the longest. But you, Siegel, Pardo, Toomey, all crushed it. You were hilarious, and I don't know if you remember this, but Mike Siegel, another friend of ours, did a behind the scenes on the film, and you were talking about he asked you about my directing capabilities.
Oh no.
And you paused and you said inept. In a word.
Did I say that?
You said inept. In a word, inept. And then Lance Barber said right after you, and Lance was on the show, and I think we actually played this. He said, Pete's got a bright future. Not in directing, but I mean, making a film with comedians, it's just like, I don't think I've ever had more fun. That was just so much fun. I hope you enjoyed it too.
Oh, it was a blast. Yeah. The thing is, I remember that we worked at a bar we were shooting in the bar all day.
Yeah.
And then we'd wrap for the day and open up the bar.
It's crazy.
And, you know, and everybody was going nuts. There's booze flying around. And what's the guy's name that did American movie?
Mark Borchardt. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he would always leave. And I remember asking him, like, why don't you stick around? They have some drinks and everybody. He goes, oh, no. He kept saying he was an alcoholic, right? And so I'm thinking, maybe that's why. But he's leaving early to get to the liquor store.
Oh,
before
funny.
It closes.
Because they close, yeah, I mean, it's, in Wisconsin.
They close
at 9 o'clock. Yeah. Hey, here's the thing about Mark. He has not had a drink in years. And he is doing,
good for him.
He's doing great. Yeah, and he's a big fan of this show. And he's helped me immensely, just retweeting and retexting. He's just a great guy and very extremely knowledgeable about film. I was not ready for that. Like when I would talk to him on the set, like I'm like, wow, this guy knows his stuff, you know.
But I probably shouldn't have told that story if he's listening to the show.
No, I'm sure. Listen, we all have our past.
Do you remember that Lauren Holly, right? That was her name?
Yeah.
Would not laugh at anything I did. Do you remember that? It became kind of a joke as time went on.
She purposely,
Steve, do that face for Lauren. So I do it for nothing. She give me nothing, Pete. Nothing.
She loved to mess with people, and she was really good at it. You know, she. That's hilarious. She said some funny things on that recording too. Mike was so great to make that. That was fun. It was nice to have that.
That was a fun weekend. A week.
Yeah, it was a good time. So, Steve, what I do on the show is I talk to people. I ask them what they're watching. I find out what people are binge watching, cringe watching. What are you into? You always have good. I know you're a TV guy like me because you're always posting cool stuff on Facebook about what you're watching. What's on your TV these days?
You know, it's funny. I had a feeling we were going to talk about this, and I was telling myself, make a list, but I didn't. And so now my mind just went blank. I can tell you what I don't like.
Yeah.
Lay it Nancy is watching this show called Palm Royale.
Oh yeah.
On Apple Plus.
Is that the Annette Bening one?
It gets more annoying with each episode.
Yeah.
And now we're on like episode 8 or something like that, and I almost can't stand it anymore. I can't even hate watch it.
Oh, that's a bad show if you can't hate watch.
But some people like it. So it's just not to my taste, I guess. You know
but, you posted something about the show Three Body Problem.
Yeah.
It was such a weird title. I'm like, what is this? And I checked it out, and I know it's based on a book. So I went with it. The first two episodes, I was lost. I didn't get it, but it got better. And even though I didn't read the book, I was like, oh, this is a good show. And I finished the first season, and I thought it was really cool. So I owe you a thank you for that.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I read all three of the books, and it's great. If they get another season, and I think they will, they already finished the first season. They already finished the first book, and they started in the second book a little bit towards the end.
Okay.
But the next season should be crazy. Crazy good.
Really? Okay. Because it gained steam.
Like the books.
Like as the first season went on, I thought it gained a lot of steam. Like I also started watching Shogun, which I thought started strong. And when I got to the end of the season, I'm like, oh, good. Nothing happened after 10 episodes. It was like, I was so infuriated. I'm not even going to watch the second season. It's terrible.
I'm trying to watch. I tried to watch Shogun, but like, I think I got into the beginning of the third episode and I'm like, what am I doing? I don't speak Japanese. Because most of it's in Japanese, and like I got to pay too much attention.
Wait a minute,
to the subtitles.
That was in Japanese.
Yeah.
Okay, this is now it all makes sense.
It was me.
Yeah, no, it's I don't know. I couldn't stand it. I hate when I stick with something and it just goes in the toilet. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Yeah.
It was brutal, but I am watching. I checked out Sugar with Colin Farrell. Oh,
yeah, Sugar. I like that. Yeah, one. Yeah,
I like it so far. I like the noir stuff, and then Under the Bridge with Lily Gladstone too.
Hey, we're watching that one too. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So I Sugar I really like, but the problem with Sugar is that when you got these, you know, noir things, like, you know, detective stuff,
yeah,
you start to forget, you know, from week to week where you're at,
right?
You know, so it's probably I'm toying with the idea of just letting him put all the episodes up and just watch it all at once.
It's like
starting over again every week, you know.
I try to do that, and then I cave.
He's great in there. I really do like that show a lot, man.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Are you a Bosch fan?
Yeah, I watched a couple seasons of Bosch, and then I moved on. I forgot. Maybe I should go back to that one
because that's got the noirish. I love the LA detective stuff. You know, it's great.
I love stuff that's shot in LA. I like. Yeah. What's the one, Lincoln Lawyer on Netflix?
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
Same
one.
Creators, I think, as Bosch. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Steve, this was my idea of a good time. I think so. it's been really cool having you on, man, and talking to you again. I miss you, buddy.
Yeah. Good talking to you, man.
Yeah. All right. Let's keep talking, and let's do it again soon. Have a great night, buddy.
All right, man. You too.
All Thanks. Right. Check it out. PaintingsbySteveSegrin.com. SEAGREN. PaintingsbySteveSegrin.com. Really, some really solid artwork. And it won't break the bank. He's got some good deals on there. And it's just beautiful work. I'd like to thank Pat Kreitlow, Steve Segrin. All your texts were great tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for riding along with me here on Nightlight and joining Conrad, who didn't have to use his thumbs tonight for one thing.
Wait.
This is like a vacation for you.
Wait.
And I hope, Joe, I hope you get to meet Steve Segrin up close and personal. Again, even though you've already met him. All right, we will be back tomorrow night with more Nightlight. Kirk Bangstad will be here and Terry Barr. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good night, Wisconsin.
Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
Pete Schwabe.
On my next show, I welcome brewery owner and classically trained singer Kirk Bangstad and singer Brentley Brehm and host of Civic Media's Max Inc., Terry Barr.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights 7 till 9.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny.
I wonder what Matt Damon's mom would say when it comes to teaching science to little kids.
Wait, what? You want to know what my mom would say? All right, well, just ask her.
And there she is, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. Welcome to Busted Pencils. Nancy, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. It's great to see you. It's great to be here.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Mad Radio. WMDX 1580 AM Columbus. W224 EG Madison. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.